Hey, give me a test.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, that is a directional mic, so you have to make sure you're talking into it.
Right here, I got you. I can see you. I can see the mic. Can you hear me? Everything look good on the machine?
Do you want to adjust it or is it good?
I'm happy right here. If it sounds good, right here.
Yeah,
that's good. Now you can see me better. Okay.
Yeah, you sound good.
All right.
All right. Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And here at the Spotlight Show, we like to give you the inside story on people you know, or maybe you don't know, or maybe you'd like to know. Today, I have for the third time, I have my guest that I've known for, gosh, I think I coached you basketball years ago when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, it was in 2005.
Yes. My guest, Jake Loft. Welcome, Jake.
I'm glad to be back. Third time around.
That's right. Third time. Now, what Jake is the inside man. He's my inside man to Washington, D.C., you know, because he used to work there. Right now, he's got a company, J. Loft Company. They do advertising websites, small business, and political campaigns. He operates out of St. Louis. Now, you moved from D.C., to St. Louis, after COVID?
It was in 2023. I moved from Washington, D.C. to St. Louis.
Yes.
And it's been the best move of my life.
Has it?
Got to get out of that place.
Got to get out of that. It's what I hear.
It's a fun place, though. Don't want to knock it too hard.
You grew up here.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Went to St. Francis School.
St. Francis, went to Jerseyville High School, Jersey Community High School. They were always on our case for that. They were like, no, we're not Jerseyville High School. We're Jersey Community.
Jersey community, yes. Yeah. Grew up in Grafton, right?
Yep, Grafton, which has changed a lot, actually. It's interesting. I like to look back and see, like, when we first moved there, it was, like, recovering from the flood of 1993,
mm-hmm.
and it was just nothing. And then now the whole thing has developed, and it's, like, a tourist attraction and a moneymaker, and it's super nice.
Yeah, thousands of people there on the weekends.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. The traffic. The one street of traffic.
Yeah, I can go in St. Louis and... You know, if I'm going anywhere, you ever heard of Jerseyville? No, never heard of Jerseyville. How about Grafton? Oh, yeah, been to Grafton. Yeah, Grafton. You know, it's a tourist stop.
That's right. I always got to hit Fast Eddie's on the way, too, right? Like, it's a circle for those guys. They go swing up Alton, go up the River Road. But anyway, now I live in St. Louis, and I'm back.
Okay, inside store. Man, there's so much going on in Washington and D.C. It's like... crazy. I mean, I never had so much entertainment in my life, you know, watching the YouTube channel, you know, which I like to go to see it. But so last time you were here was before the election, right? And you made some predictions.
No, it was after the election. It was before the inauguration.
Okay.
Somewhere I was like mid-December.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you... okay, if I remember right, you predicted that all of Trump's cabinet members would get in, right?
Yes, that's what I said. And
you were pretty close. You were close. You missed one, Matt Gaetz.
Yeah. What turns out, you know, I put a little caveat in the prediction where I said there's always some type of a sacrificial lamb of sorts.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was Gaetz. Then I pegged on some kind of a broad conspiracy theory that still may or not be true about the congressional stock trading. But in any case, Pam Bondi is probably a lot better than Gaetz.
Yeah.
But everyone else got in, which I completely expected.
Yeah. You know what I was surprised is there is a pretty mixed group of people in that. You
diversity.
Know? I mean it is for eliminating diversity, it's very diverse in this cabinet.
Party. Yeah, because we do this cool thing. Me and my conservative friends do this thing where we hire people based off of merit. And if you do that, you can truly create a diverse group of people.
Boy, that is true.
Right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, myself, I mean, I love diversity. I love people that are diverse, you know?
Right. You can't all...
I don't like being around the same people all the time. I like different looks, different views.
It's always good to bring a different point of view, different set of skills, as long as they're all on the same agenda. That's the difference between, like, this group of people and Biden's group, is that you have... you have a diverse group of people, different skill sets that are all in it for the same thing, which is what the people are in it for. They're not directly working against us like we've seen for the last 4 years, and also for the 4 years before that, because of all the snakes that were in the administration before.
Yeah. Now, did you make it to the inauguration?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
It was cool.
Did you go by yourself? You had friends that went?
I went with another friend, and I had friends there still.
Did you stay with people you knew?
Yes.
Because it had to be hard to get a hotel.
It was impossible. Yeah. There were over $1,000 a night for the good ones.
Ooh.
And it was quite the setup. I stayed in Virginia with one of my friends, and we took the metro. But the roads were all closed, and there was, I don't know how many people are usually there, but tens of thousands more than usual. This is the second one I've been to.
Yeah. And how was security?
High.
Was it?
High security. You have two competing forces of law enforcement at an event like that. You've got the city of Washington, then they control like the streets and what's shut down and everything. Then you have the FBI and the Secret Service and stuff, who are in charge of escorting everybody around. Like, the entire sum of government is all in like one building at one time, like for this.
I see.
You know, so it is a big deal.
Did you ever hear how many people were actually in the city during the inauguration?
I think it was supposed to be like, I never heard that, but there was a change of venue. They were going to have it outside like they usually do.
Yeah, but it was going to be too cold.
Right, it was going to be, quote, too cold, which, I mean, I don't want to date the show, but 2 weeks ago it was like zero here, right? Or last week. and that wasn't too cold. We got kids standing outside waiting for buses and that thing. It was like probably like 30 or 40 degrees in Washington whenever
the inauguration went on.
Yeah, so it was not too cold.
It was not too cold. But the weather could have changed. Is that what they were thinking? That it might get cold? What was the reason they moved it inside?
They were anticipating a big like weather event that never happened. But I think that there were credible sources that said there was this actual security threat.
Very well could have been. Yeah.
I don't doubt it. They tried to kill them.
Tried two assassinations.
So. Yes. So they moved it inside. And that's how I figured out the number, because then they moved... The people that had tickets could go to an off-site venue to watch at the Capital One Arena, which holds like 30,000 people, and it was like full, and the line was wrapped around, and they didn't let anybody in. So
where were you?
I had some friends of mine were doing a little watch party at an organization's headquarters, and so we got some tickets to that, and we're in there. Stayed warm, had food all day, got to watch all the festivities.
Had a good time.
It was great. And then afterwards, we went to the Liberty Ball that was televised on Fox, and saw the president dance with his family. And the real hit of the show was witnessing the actual village people do YMCA.
Really?
Yeah. Macho Man and stuff. Yeah.
Those guys got to be older, aren't they?
There's one original member. I read up on this.
Okay.
Yeah. One original member left. They used to not like Trump playing their music, but
they changed.
They're now with us.
Yes. Yeah. Money talks.
Yeah.
They go, well, yeah, we can make some money off this gig.
Yeah.
At the ball, did you wear a tux or something at the ball?
Yeah, it was black tie.
Have to bring that with you?
Yeah, that was actually the worst. It's glad you asked me about that. So once you get in the city, there's really no like getting out and coming back. And so because the traffic was so bad.
How do you get around?
Well, you have to take an Uber like within like a secured area.
Okay. No bringing your, I mean.
So you can bring your stuff in and you can bring in out anything. It's just like logistically.
Wait a minute. So you got to park outside the city?
So within the city, there were like square miles that were like secured, and so you only like specific vehicles could get in. You just had to park outside of that area if you didn't park.
So what is it, 3 or 4 square miles or what?
It was probably like 20 blocks like east and west, and probably 10 north and south. There's a big like rectangle there.
Could you walk in?
Yeah. Okay. So you could get in. You're allowed in there. There was just like they wanted no traffic. They I don't know. It was just really tight security and hard to get around. The so anyway, the question was, did I bring my tuxedo?
Did you bring
with
your
me?
Tux? That was
yeah.
Question.
So I did. I had it in like a briefcase that I checked at the like organization that I watched did the watch party at.
Yeah.
I checked my briefcase with a full tuxedo in there. I was like in the coat check. I was like, "There's a watch out for this full tuxedo." My friend thought it was gonna. He didn't want it to wrinkle, so he's carrying his on a hanger all day around the city of Washington.
Now
looks like Dumb and Dumber, like the two of us walking around.
hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jake Loff with me. He's with the J. Loff Company. He operates in St. Louis now, but spent many years in D.C., and he's my inside connection to D.C. Grew up in Jersey County.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, one, I wanted to say one quick shout-out on the radio. So I see your social media on the radio is great. I see everything that happens. I see all your guests. My nephew won your birthday drawing. Wayne Weber.
Wayne Weber
won a prize the other day.
Yes.
What is that drawing? How do you get in that?
Call in you could call your own birthday in, Jake, or you could have somebody call your birthday in, and just call it to our listener line, 618-639-4567. So that's easy to remember, right?
4567.
And it's just like an answer machine. You know, somebody comes on and then you just say, "Hey, I want to let my friend Jake Loff know that his birthday's coming up, you know, and happy birthday, Jake." You know, that's it.
Wow. So, all right, everybody. Get your calls in now for March 1st. It's tomorrow. March,
it's tomorrow?
No. Somebody's is.
Yeah,
mine's October 18th. So you guys got a while to practice.
Yeah, maybe you'll be back by then. You can remind them.
I'll remind you.
I'll bring you in October 15th.
Perfect.
Give you a couple days.
Yeah.
On the balls. You know, and I'm not talking about Joe, but the balls that you went to, the Liberty Ball. Do you have to wear a tux to get in?
No,
you don't have to.
No, but everybody was.
Everybody does.
Yeah, everybody. You just have a suit on. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's you should have seen the line. Like it was, wrapped around like a city block, like three or four times to get in. And we're standing out. Then it was cold. Like it was like 20 then. And because
they had room for everybody.
Yeah, it was in a big convention center. They actually had two. So there was three different official presidential balls, and two of them were in the same convention center. It's big. It's a big multi-story.
And how do the girls dress?
They
big
dress
gowns.
Like, dress in gowns. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cocktail dresses.
And how long does this go on? You get there at when, and what goes on?
We got in line about 6 to get to for the thing. They opened the doors at 6:30.
When'd you get in?
Oh, we were in about 7.
So that's pretty quick.
It wasn't bad. We were in the front of the line, though, so we were kind of – there was a lot of lines converging, so we kind of took an opportunity.
What's it cost? What's the ticket cost? It
doesn't cost anything, I don't think. Yeah,
really?
It's we had our tickets given to us from a friend, but I think it's just you just got to get on the list, but they're hard to come by. Like you got to know somebody that knows their way around D.C. to, like, get them, but – I think it's just a limited supply. I don't think they cost anything.
And so they'll have, you said the YMCA.
Yeah, so they had a bunch of food. Oh, they had a really fun celebration. It was called, they had like these photo booths that was like a year in the life of Trump. And so they had four little photo booths. And the first one was like mugshot. You go up there and take a mugshot like him.
Okay.
The second one was like McDonald's drive-thru.
Okay. How about, did they have one with the garbage truck?
That's what I was wondering. I was like, if they got McDonald's, they got to have a garbage truck. No garbage truck. Then it was like Oval Office and then like outside the Capitol. Like,
well, that was cool. Did you get some shots taken?
Yeah, we all I went to McDonald's. Well, the funny thing about McDonald's is I used to work there. I worked at the Jerseyville McDonald's back in 2010. Yeah.
Oh.
And so I'm like the president in that way.
Yes. Hey, back to the venue. It was just because of security, as you think?
Yeah.
It was just easier.
Yeah. I don't think the weather had anything to do with it. And the, cause I mean, the people of DC are kind of hostile. Like it's a protest city. Like people come from out of town to do big, large scale protests, and the locals are, you know, vote Democrat and weren't happy with anything. You can just kind of see the way that the mayor like approached the setup. Like that she kind of wanted it to be as hard as possible for tourists to get around.
I see. And it was.
It was.
Yes.
Always is.
Hey, let's talk about something that you're probably... What I like about you, Jake, is, you know, we can watch the media. We can watch that all day long, and you hear all these things coming at you. But you kind of have an inside story of what's the view is, what's going on. How about the Doge thing?
I think it's great. They said it couldn't be done. The cool thing about this is they all said there's like every corner. It's like, look, I told you so. We can do this, and we're gonna do it, and we're probably gonna do it again.
Yeah, but every president says they're gonna do it, but
we're doing it. We're doing it, and the like part of the diversity of like thought that the president has brought to governing. It includes Elon Musk and his crazy personality and his ideas and the way he acts and the way he dresses. You see the way he's just, you know, he is fully Elon all the time. I think that's great. I've been a big fan of him for years, actually.
Yeah, of Elon Musk. Yeah, I have too.
Totally. Down,
I mean,
for this.
He's something else. I mean, yeah. He's a heck of a.
He's good.
Well, the richest guy in the world, is it? Or is it just richest guy in America?
Richest guy in the world, I think. Like I Tesla took a big hit this week, so maybe not anymore. But the cool thing about Musk is like he's not really interested in like the government. He's trying to get to Mars, and and the U.S. government was just in the way. So he's gonna take us to Mars with him. Right.
Okay. Here's a question. Now, of course, in Doge, are eliminating all the, you know, people that aren't doing their jobs, et cetera, you know, cutting. When you were in D.C., all right, the bureaucrats, define what in terms what a bureaucrat is. What do you think?
Yeah, there's plenty of them in Washington. So whenever you're a career government worker that draws a paycheck from the taxpayers, has very little oversight or accountability, you're a bureaucrat. You work for the bureaucracy. You're part of the machine, the thing that we all complain about, that the government is too big. The too big aspect of it is the bureaucracy, and there's too many people that work there.
Now, I mean, when you lived there, you hung around, I'm sure you hung out with bureaucrats. Didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Everybody I know.
Everybody you knew was a bureaucrat?
They're terrible. The worst people. Yeah. I tell you what.
What do you mean the worst people?
The types of people that are all upset about this email that went around asking you what you did this week, which I'm just so astounded by. Like, if you ask, I could give you 10 pages on what I've done, like, this morning. Like, how hard is it really?
You know, when I worked construction and I had a crew of guys working for me, at the end of the week, they had a sheet, okay, that they had to fill out daily on what they did through the hours of the day so that I could bill appropriately, all right? And they had to fill it out. Handed it in. It's just like homework. You got to have it.
Got to know the materials we use. Got to know what is up. Right. That is lost. Like, that type of drive and, like, problem solving and, like, willingness to work is what is lacking in these, what I've been calling bureaucrats.
Did you ever know any bureaucrats that actually were getting a paycheck but didn't go in, didn't do anything?
Yeah. So you should have seen it whenever the government was shut down. They all come out of the woodwork whenever they're allegedly furloughed and everybody's upset about it. Yeah. So like a bunch of my friends were like political appointees. And they worked in different agencies and stuff. And those are, they're not exactly the type of people that Doge is going after, but they could fit in this category. Whenever the government shuts down, they like put non-essential employees on leave for a couple weeks. So they don't get paid. And like the news makes a big deal about it. And like, whoa, what are we going to do? All these kids in DC aren't going to have any money. Yeah. So actually all they do is just go out and party and take the time off and enjoy this, their forced vacation on the dime of the taxpayers, you know. Well, they just take advantage of the system. There's no accountability here, and there never has been, because it's built so like complex and long and old, and like there's never been updated. It's like Southwest Airlines is plane systems are like from the 80s. Like, so is the government's, right? Like, they just can't be fixed without a literal like overhaul of it, which is Elon Musk's specialty.
Well, how does a, you know what, we're running close, just about out of time here. We're coming down to the end. But if someone wanted to be a bureaucrat, right, how do they get in? A connection to a politician or what?
Oh, no. You know, there's you just go on Indeed. You know, I'm sure there's some kind of like legal clerk assistant or receptionist or like, you know, if you want to call yourself some kind of a data analyst, you can go work for the EPA, right, and move spreadsheets all day, right? Like, you definitely don't need a college degree to like do the job that these people are doing. They probably would require it, but it's really just moving paper and holding meetings and taking phone calls, right?
Did they live in D.C. or live outside?
They used to live in D.C., but then they all moved to remote work whenever COVID happened. And that's what the real problem is they all moved to work. And so here's some actual inside information on this from a non-politician. So I know somebody that works closely with the EPA, and she was telling me that for the last 4 or 5 years, they were unable to get anything done because EPA's all been working from home with only a 2-day-a-month in-office work requirement, and they didn't send them home with computers. So they are literally only able to do anything. It's like regulatory work.
On those 2 days.
And they schedule them 2 days in a row. So they go into work 2 days in a row, and then they're off like 58 days.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice gig.
And that, yeah. So those are bureaucrats. And that is like actual, like important work that needs to be done. And it's all over the FDA and the EPA and the USDA and any of those.
I see.
And so that's where we actually need to see cuts, and actual people can benefit from that.
Well, Jake, thanks for coming in today. Appreciate your insight. Appreciate it. And I know you are busy. You are busy as can be, right?
Yeah. Website's flying off the shelves. We got an election coming up in 2 years. You know, people are getting ready.
Well, thanks for coming in. Have a great day, and take care of yourself.
Thank you, Chris.